26. That's where we want to go. You got your Bible there? All right, you did good. What we'll talk about in chapter 26 is pretty clear. Chapter 26, not very long. We're going to talk, the first part of it, we're going to talk about fools. Second part, basically talk about the lazy. Now, we've been talking about those off and on throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is really a book of wisdom. It's an opportunity for you and I to make some changes in our own lives. Now, we can't change ourselves, but we can sure go before the Lord as we study these together, and God will change our heart. Changes are good, and God can do them. But you're not going to change if you just read it. I'm not going to change. We just read it and say, oh, yeah, that was nice, or, oh, that doesn't apply to me. These really are things we need to take before the Lord. And that's kind of what we've been going through. We're near the end of this book. Not many more chapters and we're done. Chapter 26 begins this way. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. We're going to talk a lot about fools the first, 12 or 13 verses, I believe. Snow in summer and rain in harvest. They don't work. They just don't work. They're not logical. If that were to happen, snow in summer and rain in harvest, it would damage a lot of things. Snow in the summer and rain in the harvest would damage your crops, would damage the things you're trying to grow. It would wreck things up. In other words, it's no good. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. It's the same way when you put a fool in a position of honor. It just doesn't work, is what the Bible's saying. It will damage a bunch of things. You place a fool in a position of responsibility and honor, and what you're going to get is the same thing as if it rained hard when it's time for you to try and harvest your crops. It's going to ruin them. It's going to wreck things up. Putting a fool in a place of honor does the same thing. It wrecks things up. So we always want to be careful of that. Verse 2, I don't know, some people say it's hard to understand. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. What does that mean? I think in basic American, and remember now, we're talking about opportunities to either be fools or to be wise. I think what you notice as we read about fools, chances are good if we're going to be honest, we go, oh, well, that's sort of like how I've been doing. That's sort of like what I've been thinking. If we're going to be honest, these are opportunities. Well, look at this. In basic American, as the flight of birds is really unpredictable, you can't really tell exactly what a bird's going to do. As a matter of fact, if a strong wind comes up, these smaller birds are forced to go with the wind, aren't they? It's kind of, their flight is unpredictable. Well, that's the same way about curses. This is for all of those of you that want to practice witchcraft. You cannot curse and expect that curse to stick. In other words, just like the flight of a bird is unpredictable, curses are, it just doesn't work that way. You can't just cast curses on people and expect them to work. Balaam, in what, Numbers 23, taught us that, didn't he? He wanted desperately to curse Israel. He wanted to. But he said, I try, I just can't. I mean, I can't. God won't let me. I could curse them all day, but it won't work out to be a curse. It just doesn't work that way. And that's what the verse says. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Prediction or prophesying. Now, you better sit down. Speaking of curses, prediction or prophesying is best left up to God alone. Do you understand that? It is best left up to God alone. I would stay out of it and away from it if I were you. I know that many of you do think that you're prophets. But the truth is, it has to be 100% accurate. If you say, oh, God's going to curse this land and he's going to... Listen, as soon as you start speaking on behalf of God and prophesying and passing out curses, remember, Balaam would have loved to have done that, but he couldn't. It's best to leave prophesying and prediction up to the Lord himself. And if he gives you the gift of prophesying, okay, use it wisely and be sure you know what you're talking about. And that's basically what verse 2 is telling us. Verse 3, it's clear. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Remember, we're talking about fools, which you and I don't want to be when we grow up. A horse is motivated by a whip. All you have to do is hop on that horse and hit it, and usually that'll motivate it and it'll go. If you're not a good rider, you'll have to hang on tight because it might go fast if you hit it. I remember riding a horse. His name was Roger, and he was lazy kind of thing. I'm sitting on him, and it's hard to make him go. You could kind of kick him a little bit, but he just didn't want to go. And the person that was the expert in riding said, just hit him with a stick. Just hit him. Here, take this little stick here and whack him a good one with it. He'll go. Yeah, that motivates a horse. You hit him with a whip, and a horse will go. Also, a donkey. A donkey is controlled by a halter. And it takes a lot of the strength that you have to pull one way or the other, to force that donkey to go the way you would like that donkey to go. See, donkeys aren't controlled by reason. They're controlled by a halter, by force. It's the same way with a fool. If you want to be a fool, here's how you control a fool. A fool is controlled by physical punishment. See that? Because a fool also won't respond to reason. And what we read here is a rod for the fool's back. Fools don't respond to reason and logic. You say, this is what God says, let's try to do it. This is what's right, this is what's honest, this is what's good. Let's do this, let's go this way. Fools don't respond to that. They respond to being beaten with a stick or with a rod. They don't respond to reason. So, keep that in mind if you want to be a fool. You can kind of figure if you want to be a fool, you won't respond to reason, so there'll be other ways to get you to go. Verse 4 says, and this kind of confuses people too, so we'll read both the verses together, verses 4 and 5. Answer a fool not, or answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Okay, that sounds like it contradicts itself. Let me read it again. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. What on the earth are we talking about? First, don't be drawn down to a fool's level. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Don't be drawn down to the level of a fool. You know, there are times when people will talk to you and you'll get in these little arguments with them or these little back and forth things. Sometimes it's best to stop and say, okay, hold it here. Before you even answer them or reply to the nasty thing they've said or whatever they're doing, you stop and you think. Now, God says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. Don't come down. Let's don't go down to their level. Now, on the other hand, you've got to use language many times that the fool can understand. Okay? So sometimes you have to answer a fool according to their folly. You've got to speak to them where they're at. So let me read it to you again. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Don't stoop to the level that they're at. answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Sometimes you have to use language that a fool's going to understand. What are we learning here? We need, those of us that don't want to be fools, need to apply wisdom in this case. We need wisdom to know when to apply verse 4, and we need wisdom to know when to apply verse 5. You can't apply them both at the same time. You need to know how to deal with the situation that you're in. A lot of times it takes not answering right away, thinking a little bit, waiting on the Holy Spirit. You know, someone says something to you, stop and look at them and think, all right now, should verse 4 of chapter 26 apply in this case? Or should verse 5? I need to make a decision here. Lord, which one is it? Should I answer them according to their folly in this case? Or should I not answer them according to their folly in this case? Which one is it? Sometimes there's a time to, and sometimes there's a time not to. And we need to look for wisdom. Seek the Lord on it. He that sends a message by the hand of a fool. Notice we're really concentrating on fools in these first, I think it's 12, I didn't write it down, first 12 or 13 verses. He that sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off the feet and drinks damage. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? If you send a message via a fool, if you got a fool delivering your message for you, the message is not going to be delivered. You'll be sorry. It will be self-damaging. It's like trying to send a message with someone who doesn't have feet. The message isn't going to get there. And I'm sure that probably, if you think about it, you've asked people, would you check with so-and-so for me and about this? And you'll come back a few days later and try to figure out what happened. And the message never got there. Or the message was so twisted or so bizarre. I see that quite a bit. I'll see people, they don't know how to communicate. And you'll see them trying to talk back and forth. And nobody quite knows what's going on. That's what you're learning. It's self-damaging. You'll be sorry if you send the message that you want, an important message to get somewhere, if you send it through a fool, the Bible says. Well, the legs of the lame, verse 7 says, are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. And so again, we continue the thought. Fools, they can't be trusted. A fool does not know what to do with a proverb. Proverbs are usually used by teachers. Jesus used proverbs and parables. Okay? The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. Jesus spoke in parables, sometimes using proverbs or parables. Well, you see, fools can't be trusted with them. A fool doesn't know what to do with the proverb or the parable. Useless as limp legs to someone who is lame. What he's talking about here is a parable, usually is done by a teacher. You wouldn't want to put a fool in the position of having to teach others, having to oversee others, having to lead others. If you do that, well, it's the same as putting someone who can't walk there trying to walk. In other words, it's not fair, it's not going to work, it's useless. But it doesn't stop there. As he that binds a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. It's senseless to take a sling and tie the stone or the rock in it and then swing it and try to do something with it. It's also dangerous because you're swinging now this sling that's got a rock tied to it. The rock's going to go nowhere, so it's chances are good it's going to hit you, or you're going to hurt yourself if you're not careful. Make sense? It's useless to tie a stone in a sling. I mean, there's no need to have the sling at that point. It could even harm the one trying to use the sling. True? That's just like giving honor to a fool. It's senseless to give honor to a fool. It's useless, and it can even do damage to the reputation of the one doing so. You give honor to a fool, you might hurt yourself, is what the Bible is saying. It's like tying a rock in a sling. I've seen people get themselves into positions. And of course, we can all debate on how they got themselves there. But they're really foolish. And they're in positions of authority. They're in positions of leadership. And it's a dangerous thing. It's going to do damage. I've seen guys and girls get into leadership positions in churches. It does damage to the church. It's like tying a rock in a sling. Somebody's going to get hurt. You got a mess on your hands. It's useless. It's a waste of time. You don't want to do that. You can see how God doesn't speak real highly of fools. And so you can see how you and I, when we grow up, we don't want to be that way. If we catch ourselves, if we start seeing glimpse of ourselves in here, we can say, oh Lord, I don't want to be that way. I want to grow. Change my heart. That's the goal of the one writing the Proverbs, hoping that we'll see and begin to recognize problem areas and ask God to change these areas in our lives. Now, verse 9 says, as a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Once again, the teachers would use parables in the Proverbs and things. So you see, we got a problem here. You've got a fool in a position of leadership or in a position of authority somehow, and as a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunk. Well, you know, a drunk many times doesn't feel pain for a while. So you could see if a thorn went up into the hand of someone who's drunk, they might not feel it, the pain. Well, a fool doesn't have any idea how or what he's talking about when it comes to a parable or to a teaching. Kind of like a drunk doesn't know he's in pain or she's in pain. They won't know it for a while. What he's saying is it's the same thing with a fool. You let them get an opportunity to teach or to oversee, and they're numb also. They're just numb in the head. They're not going to know what's going on. We see a lot of numb heads today who are able to get in those positions. And it's dangerous. We don't want to be that way. Now the great God that formed all things, verse 10 says, both rewards the fool and rewards transgressors. We've seen that over and over also through Proverbs. That's an easy one to understand. You can be sure of the outcome of a transgressor or of a fool. You and I can be sure that God will take care of everything. You don't have to worry about it. Try to take it into your own hands. The Bible is clear. God's going to take care of everything. We learned in the New Testament, we've seen many times, that God is not mocked. Each one of us is sowing, and each one of us will reap. We just know that. We know that. It doesn't matter what others see. It doesn't matter what others think. If you're sowing to yourself in righteousness, of course, we know you're going to reap in mercy. It doesn't matter what people see or feel. If we're sowing to ourselves anything else, well, that anything else will be reaped, and it's going to be known because that's what was sown. That rhymes. You can be sure of the outcome because God will take care of everything. That's what the verse is saying. The great God that formed all things both rewards the fool and rewards transgressors. So you and I just want to make sure that we're not fools or that we're not transgressors. Verse 11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, that's a nice thought, so a fool returns to his folly. You know, it's kind of a sickening thought, but it really gets the point across, doesn't it? You've seen dogs throw up and then eat what they just threw up. You know, it's going to make them sick again. Or you can figure, right? And dogs are kind of that way. And as a dog returns to his vomit, the same way a fool returns to his folly. in American? Fools do not learn from their mistakes. Is what he's teaching us here. Fools do not learn from their experiences. They just go back into the same trouble they were before. I know that you've seen people do that in your life. You've seen men and women do that very thing. You think they would learn. They get themselves in trouble. And you think they'd learn from it. And sure enough, there they are again in the same trouble. You're having to post bail for them again. Or having to go pick them up again. Or having to go down the street and pull them out of the same trouble they were in. And you think, how many times am I going to have to do this? I've seen parents do that to their sons and daughters. That continue to bail them out of situations. And then the son or the daughter will turn right back around in another month or two, be in the very same situation. I've seen men and women get themselves into relationships. And I'm sure you have too. And they'll hook up with the most strange individual. And you'll think, well, they probably just were confused. They'll get rid of that one. And somehow they'll end up in a relationship with almost the same kind of individual. And you'll think, what is wrong with you? And the Bible says, well, at that point you're being a fool. It's a great opportunity to stop it and to grow up. Because see, as a dog returns to his vomit, a fool does the same thing. They don't learn from their mistakes or from their experiences. They go back into the same troubles and into the same problems over and over again. How many times have we seen men and women get out of prison only to turn around and go straight back in? And we start to give it a psychological name. We start to call people codependent. We start to call people, they can't handle it on the outside. They're more disciplined when they're under. We start to make up excuses. We try to give them titles, psychological terms. We try to make, you know what it is? They're fools. And every one of us is a fool that does it. And sooner or later, if we want to quit being fools, we'll start listening to God, grow out of it, and stay away from the same problems and not eat our own vomit again. Sounds gross, but that's what we're doing. Now, verse 12. The last verse, we talk about fools, so we can go on to a new subject. Do you see a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Of all the terrible things we've just heard about fools, now we talk about someone who is proud of themselves. And this is interesting because we just spent 11 verses totally thrashing fools. Go back and read them again when you get some time. I mean, you would be embarrassed if those first 11 verses had your name in them. Wouldn't you? Don't admit it. Okay. Yeah. Wouldn't you be embarrassed if it says, as the dog returns to his vomit, so Bob returns to his folly. You go, don't use my name. Want me to put your name? Give me your name. I'll put it in here. And you'll say, hey, wait, I don't like it when you put my name in there. Yeah, that'd be embarrassing. Well, now look at verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope for Bob than for that guy. Let me read it to you again. Even a fool is better off than someone who thinks they're smart. Even a fool is better off than someone who thinks they're wise. Even a fool is better off than someone who thinks they've got it all together. And I mean, we just spent a lot of time looking how fools are really fools. But you know, the biggest of all is the one who thinks they're doing okay. You know, the Bible tells us that we should have a sane estimation of ourselves. In other words, we need to really know. Now you don't have a sane estimation of yourself if you're filled with pride, or if I'm filled with pride. And pride goes both ways. That's the hardest part, I think, for us to get a hold of. Pride goes both ways. There's the false humility which is called pride. And then there's pride, which is called pride. And so if you're on either end of that, that's self-exaltation. That's having our eyes on self. That's a dangerous thing. If you start to think that you're wise in your own conceit, then a fool is better off than you are. A fool is better off than I am. That's amazing after what we've just read about fools. Experts in everything are hard to be around. They're just hard to be around. And what they've got is they've got a problem of being wise in their own conceits. They know about business. They know about money. They know about life. They know about women. They know about men. They know about everything. They're hard to be around because, see, they're wise in their own conceits. Well, see, there's more hope of a fool and for a fool than for that person. So don't be one who is wise in your own conceit. Even a fool is better off than that individual. Okay, that ends the fool section, and we enter into the lazy section. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. You see, lazy people, the Bible says, have an excuse for everything. There's an excuse for everything. So that he or she doesn't even have to leave their own house. There's a lion out there. If I go out there, I might get eaten. There's a lion out there. Well, I was tired. You got to watch out for that. Laziness is something that every one of us can be overtaken with. Every one of us, without fail. Just like being a fool. We could all be fools if we're not careful. And we can all be slothful if we're not careful. So you want to watch out for that. The lazy person always has an excuse. And the next verse tells me, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy person on his bed. Lazy people like to sleep. Now, sleeping is not a sin. God made us. I mean, we are made of dust. And God remembers how we're made. He knows that our physical bodies need to sleep. And some people tell me that some physical bodies need 12 to 14 hours of sleep. Now, I don't know. That may be true. I don't know. I mean, maybe your body doesn't. Everybody's body is different. And everybody's got different energy levels and different ways that they can function. Some people function with no sleep. Some people function with a little. Some people function with a lot. But the lazy person likes to sleep. Now remember, we're told earlier, love not sleep. Remember that? We saw that. We talked a little bit about being lazy and about how sleep is kind of a neat thing, you know. So we're told don't love it. But lazy people like it. So just pray about that. If you need 12 to 15 hours of sleep, fine. I mean, if that's what your body requires. But after that 15 hours, get up and get moving. However many hours are left in the day. All three of them. I mean, just go. But I have noticed this. Probably you have too. The longer you sleep, the tireder you get. Have you noticed that? That's weird. But that's the way our bodies work. The longer you lay down, the more you want to lay down. That's if you're healthy. And so just watch out, because as a door turns on its hinges, the lazy person lays on their bed. It's like they're locked to it. It's like they're hinged to it, and they just roll back and forth. So you want to watch out for that. Verse 15 says, the lazy hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him to bring it again to his mouth. Lazy people don't even like to feed themselves. They would starve as opposed to having to go to work. And so we don't want to be that way. That's kind of an easy scripture to understand. Verse 16 says, the sluggard or the lazy is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Okay, that makes sense too. You see, the lazy person, which we learned earlier, has a reason that they're that way. They're wiser in their own conceit than seven people that can give you a good reason. You see, they've got excuses. They think that they've got it together. There's a reason why they're doing it. And that's kind of interesting, because that tells me that as we grow lazy, we have excuses for it. And the lazier we grow, the more in our own heads it makes sense to do that. See, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. So you see, we want to be careful of laziness, slothfulness. We just want to be careful of that. Verse 17 says, he that passes by and meddles with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. If you pick up a dog by the ears, then I think that you can probably expect to get bitten, or at least your hands and arms, and even if you bring it too close to your face, like that weird guy that goes after crocodiles. You know, you can just expect something's going to bite you. You can expect if you pick up a dog by its ears or grab it by its ears, that its mouth is somewhere near your hands, or you're going to be bitten, or at least it's going to attempt to bite you, right? It only makes sense. And that's what he's saying. Grab a dog by its ears, you can expect to get bitten. It's the same way with interfering in an argument that is none of your business. How many times have we all experienced it? We've interfered. Have you gotten into an argument, sort of dived in, and it was none of your business? You ever had that happen? Usually, the two people that are arguing turn and bite you. They quit fighting with each other enough to say, hey, mind your own business, right? It would have been smarter to just stay out of it and let it go. Unless it's fisticuffs. And somebody's gonna, if we've got real violence here, then you want to stop that. But you notice that it's probably wise to stay out of discussions and arguments that basically are none of your business. That's all he's saying there. It's not putting down dogs in any way. I know twice now, a dog in his vomit and a dog by the ear. No, it's okay. God likes dogs. Don't misunderstand. As a madman who casts firebrands and arrows in death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and says, am not I in sport? Whew. King James sometimes. A madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death. That's someone who's out of control and is a troublemaker. A madman. A wacko. That's what the verse is talking about. As a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, a crazy individual, or someone who's a troublemaker, says, so is the man that deceives his neighbor, says, am not I in sport? All it's talking about there is, you got a troublemaker, goes around making trouble, and then when trouble comes, he's going to say, she's going to say, oh, that was just a joke. I mean, how many times have you heard that? Somebody insulted you, and you look at them and say, what? Oh, just joking. Or Christians do this one. They go, oh, just tell them the truth. I hope it didn't hurt you. Just tell them the truth. That's a madman. You've got someone who's starting to sling things around without paying attention. That's like the same thing. That's a nut. That's a loony. That's someone who just grabs arrows and puts them in the bow and shoots them, not even aiming. That's crazy. You're going to hurt something. You're going to do something you didn't mean to do. That's what he's talking about. It's a troublemaker. And they try to get out of things by saying, that's just joking. Well, we're going to talk about that. Watch. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. All right. That's easy. Get rid of the gossiper, trouble stops. It's just like, have no wood, the fire's out. Get rid of the gossiper, the trouble starts. Arguing kindles more arguing, doesn't it? You got somebody who wants to cause some trouble, that, you know, if you can get them out, well, there's no fire. There's no wood, there's no fire. And so what he's saying is get rid of the gossiper and trouble ceases. Let it drop, leave it alone. That's what he's talking about. Where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no tale bearer, gossiper, tattler, well, the strife ceases. And the same thought. As coals are to burning coal, wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Arguing kindles more arguing. So get rid of the arguer. Or get out and get away from it. Let it drop. Leave it alone. The words of a talebearer, verse 22, are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We've seen that before through Proverbs. A gossip hurts people. Hurts them deeply. Sometimes they're hurt for life. So that's what he's saying. The wounds or the words of a talebearer are just like wounds. Don't gossip. Don't talk about other people. They go down to the uttermost parts of the belly. They go deep. You may not realize how much damage you're doing by gossiping. Of course, simply the Bible telling us not to gossip should be good enough for us. Hopefully it is. Hopefully we'll start to learn and grow up and quit it. But if we don't, understand that it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt groups of people. It's going to hurt churches. It's going to hurt families. It's going to hurt. It's just going to hurt. It's going to go deep and it's not going to be a pretty thing. Now, burning lips, woo, and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Burning lips, what is that? That's someone who has evil motives behind what they're saying. But you see, the burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. See, what it is people try to disguise their motives. And that's what he means by burning lips. You got things to say, but you're trying to disguise them. So maybe you could say, well, I was just joking, or, oh, you misunderstood what I was saying, or, oh, no, I didn't mean that, or, oh, well, that's you must have taken it wrong. You see, what you're doing there, it's like a piece of pottery that is glazed on the outside so that it looks pretty, but it's not glazed on the inside. You ever seen pottery that doesn't get glazed? What happens to it? If you put coffee in it, it takes on the stain of the coffee and the taste of it. You can never get that taste out of there again, right? Or if you put whatever you put inside the pottery that's not glazed or protected, it takes on the color and the smell and everything. Notice? So what he's saying is this person is trying to disguise their evil motives. They're like a piece of pottery that's glazed, but only glazed on the one side. The inside is ruined. Again, it's doing damage. He that hates, verse 24, dissembles with his lips and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks fair, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Well, a malicious person, verses 24 and 25, causes trouble, but tries to disguise it with nice talk. That's what those verses are telling. He that hates dissembles with his lip and lays up deceit within him. When he speaks fair, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. You see, this malicious person continues to cause trouble, but they'll try to talk nice. What the Bible says is do not trust that person. Their heart is filled with abominations. Seven abominations. Seven, the number of completeness. Their heart is completely filled with abominations. Don't trust them. Love them. Pray for them. Be kind to them. Don't trust them. That's what the Bible says. See, we're learning a lot, I hope. We'll put these into practice. Verse 26 says this about this person, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. Notice, malice and hatred can be hidden. You and I can hide it. I was just joking. Oh, well, no, I didn't say that. I didn't gossip. Oh, you must have got the story wrong. Not me. I wouldn't say, oh, no. No. What happens is malice and hatred can be hidden for a short time, but it eventually is seen. It comes out and it's seen by everyone, says the congregation. So sooner or later, our sin finds us out. Once our sin finds us out, it's hard to correct that kind of thing. You know, you gossip about a lot of people, you treat a lot of people a certain way. Finally, they're scared to be around you, and when you say you've repented, they have a hard time believing it, don't they? You say, I've really hurt a lot of people, I've really done this, and I've changed. And they go, oh, cool, nice, I'll see ya. And you're never allowed to play in any reindeer games. They don't want you around, and you're wondering why they don't want you around, because they can't trust you. It's going to be years. Don't be surprised if they never trust you. And if they never trust you, 10 years from now, don't be complaining that they're unforgiving. Just realize how it happened. You see, malice and hatred can be hidden for a short time, but it will eventually be seen. It's going to come through. And then at that point, what did verses 24 and 25 tell us? Their hearts filled with abominations. Don't trust them. So you always want to be careful of that. Now is the time, the Bible's showing us. Now's the time to change from these things. That's why we're going through Proverbs. It helps us. We can change. God can change our hearts. And the good thing is, every one of us has an opportunity to change. The bad thing is, we're all wanting everybody else to do it. As a dog returns to his vomit. So a fool doesn't learn from his experiences. He wants everybody else to learn. So that's what we want to be careful of. That's being wise in our own conceits. And we've already talked about, there's more hope for a fool than that person. Whoever digs a pit shall fall in it. He that rolls the stone, it will return upon him. You know, practical jokes are an outstanding example of this scripture. Because they never work. And they never seem to stop at just one little practical joke. You'll be caught in your own traps, is what the Bible says. Now, sin, we know, has a way of boomeranging, doesn't it? Haven't you learned that yet? So, verse 27 is saying, watch out. Whoever digs a pit shall fall in it. You think you want to get old what's-her-name? Want to get him? Want to get what's-his-name? You know, it's just kind of fun to, let's get him. Well, it has a tendency to boomerang. Oh, it might be funny. And it might be fun at first, but it has a tendency to boomerang. It's going to come back on you. And you're probably not going to like it when it comes back. And you're going to then have to get back at them. And then they're going to have to get back at you. And it's no good. So you'll be caught in your own trap. So Bible clearly says, watch out. Verse 28, the last verse. See, I told you this is a short chapter. A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Flatteries are lies as well. A lying tongue hates them that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth works destruction or ruin. Now, each of us that have ever lied, maybe you never have. I have. And those of you that have, if you would have asked us, well, when you lied and you said that and that was a lie, did you hate that person? You would have said, no, I just didn't want them to know this, or I just didn't feel like I should say that. What does the Bible say? People who are lying hate others. They hate the ones that they're lying to. Now, wouldn't you say the last time you lied, I don't hate them. I mean, that's pretty strong language. I mean, oh, I just didn't feel like hassling with them. So I just didn't quite tell them the truth. Well, wait. God says a lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it. So the next time you get an opportunity to lie, and according to Scripture, you and I lie a lot more than we think we do. Listen to yourself when you get a chance. Maybe for the next 24 hours, listen to the things that you tell others for 24 hours. And then stop and see how much of those are not quite the truth. When they're not quite the truth, we call that a lie. It'd be interesting. It's kind of interesting when you start paying attention to yourself. How many times will you tell somebody a lie? Now, of course, it seems to me that each time we do that, there's a good reason. We wouldn't do that except the circumstances really warranted it. I mean, there was a reason. I had to in this particular. If I would have said the truth, it might have hurt his feelings. Or if I would have said this, I don't think she would have understood. So I went ahead and said that instead. Well, you know, the Bible says if I'm doing that, I hate that person. It's pretty strong language, but it's something to pray about, isn't it? And don't forget about flattering. People who flatter bring ruin to themselves and other people. You bring ruin to yourself. Now, the last time that you and I flattered someone, and think about, you know, flattery. You know how we butter people up. Dear old dad who's been more than a mother to me. Could I have $10? You know, the next time you flatter somebody, think about this. You are bringing ruin to them. You could hurt them in a way that destroys them. Isn't that interesting? But it also brings ruin upon yourself. You could cause something that will even destroy you. So people who are lying hate others, the ones they're lying to, and they're harming others. And people who flatter are bringing ruin to themselves and to others as well. We don't think like that, do we? Do this. No, we don't. We are so used to flattery. So used to not quite telling the whole truth. We don't think, well, if I do this, I'm hating you. No, of course not. Would you say, do you hate me? Well, no. Well, God says you do. Each time you do this. And so who we listen to? Let God be true. And every man a liar. Notice that these are important things to God. To us, it's simple. 28 verses, real calm, not real in-depth. 28 simple verses. You can look at mostly about fools, and the rest really mostly about lazy. But notice how important it is to God and the strong language that God uses. If that's true, and these scriptures we just read are true, the question is, what kind of people then should we be? Should it change anything we do today, tomorrow? Should it affect our hearts in any way? Should we pray about these things? A true Christian would say, yeah, it should probably cause me to pray about these things, think about them, and ask God to change things in my life. So pray about it. If they don't concern you, then praise God. If they do, then pray and let's just seek the Lord and see what God would tell us to do. Let's bow our heads.